This is chapter number 8 tonight. We've looked at here in the beginning, here in all this. Make sure that if you did not get a prayer book and a prayer journal, we did get some in, some new ones for the ladies. If you were looking to see what they are, they are, you know, we got them back there in the back. You're welcome to look and see now. I got them on the back shelf, back table back there. We want you to pray. We want you to, everybody in here that is saved, take the time and pray. And so, you know, that's what we're trying to emphasize this year, especially is prayer, fasting. Genesis chapter number 8 is where we're going to get here in just 1 minute. I got this and I meant to read this. I'm going to go through the little bit of it here in just a minute, but I did like this part. This is with Noah, by the way. And in chapter number 7, we know this is one of the things that I know the grace of God is not what people think. These people that claim Calvinism claim that only certain people are going to heaven, those that are predestined and those that are predestined for hell, and you cannot change that. My thing is, if people were predestined for heaven and predestined for hell, then why did God put Noah on the ark for 7 days and left the ark open, even though he knew nobody was going to get on there, nobody's going to else be saved? Because God did allow them, despite what Calvinism teaches, that people don't have a choice. God, for 7 days, here in the book of Genesis chapter number 7, God left the door open for 7 days. Anybody in Noah's day could have walked onto the ark and could have been saved in the ark, but they did not. And so this thing right here, this is good. Brother David Cloud, if you're looking for some good books, he's got a lot of good books. He's got some free messages and different things. Brother David Cloud, we line up 90% of the time. I like a lot of his stuff. But he's got the exact dimensions of Noah's Ark are given in Scripture. It was shaped like a modern cargo ship. If the cubic was 18 inches, which was the standard cubic in Israel, the Ark would have been 450 feet, 137 meters long, 75 feet or 23 meters wide, and 45 feet, 14 meters high, Genesis 6:15. This is similar to the proportion of a modern vessels such as container ships, aircraft carriers, and oil tankers. The answers in Genesis, Ark Encounter in Kentucky has a full-size wooden ark that we hope to next year. We're finally going to try make plans and try to go, Lord willing. We are going to try to go see the ark in, I guess it'd be March, in for the spring break. We're going to try to go. My family's going to try to go for that. And it's good for everybody. You know, take your family, going on vacation, plan for 2 or 3 days, go there. Noah's Ark is in great contrast with the arks of the Babylonian flood myths. The Gilgamesh Ark is a cubic 200 feet square, 6 stories high. And that's the Babylonian tale of it. They changed it. The Ark could carry all of the different kinds of animals. Noah did not have to carry every subspecies, such as every kind of dog in the ark. A lot of people think, well, they couldn't have carried everything on there. You got to remember, back then, there was not all these breeds of dogs. There was not all these breeds of cats. All he had to have was the dogs, you know, the wolves, the first wolves that would have been bred down to what we have nowadays. Same thing with cats. When you look at your little house cat, just remember, at one time its ancestors were a panther or something, you know? And that's what we got a little black cat. She's black, got a little bit of white, and she looks like it. And I'm like, your ancestors were a panther, but you're just a little house cat now. And she's like, ah! But, you know, that's all that he would have had to do. Didn't need every single type. He only had to carry a representative of every major kind. One section of the Ark Encounter Museum answers the question, how many kinds were on the Ark? An animal kind, or baramin, from the Hebrew word for created and kind, is a group of related animals not related to other animals. The study was created of created kinds was called Barometeorology. Studies beginning in 2012 estimated that among land-dependent vertebrates, there are fewer than 1,400 known living and extinct kinds. So he would only needed 2,800 just of the land creatures. 2,800, that's it. Extinct kinds. In the worst case scenario, it is projected that Noah was responsible for fewer than 6,700 individual animals. Most of them easily maintained. Its carrying capacity equaled that. This is what the ark, according to the measures, means. The carrying capacity was equal to 522 standard railroad stock cars, each of which can hold 240 sheep. So the ark, there's no doubt that the ark could have easily handled this. Only 188 cars would have been required to hold 45,000 sheep-sized animals, leaving three trains of 104 cars each for food, Noah's family, and range for the animals. Dinosaurs were on average, despite what we think of. We think of a dinosaur, what do you think of? You think of big Tyrannosaurus Rex or Brontosaurus, but dinosaurs on average were the size of sheep or a small pony. For the larger ones, all what he had to do was what?
Get the babies.
See, we always see the story of Noah's Ark with what? Two full-size giraffes, two full-size elephants. All he had to do was get babies. They were in there. We're going to learn that tonight. And the Lord brought them to him. So this is why it's important for you to know what the Bible says. Noah was 600 years old. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Here in chapter number 7, and then at the end of chapter number 7, the waters prevailed upon the earth for 150 days. And so now in chapter 8, Genesis chapter 8, God remembered Noah. By the way, if I didn't mention, this is I believe the Bible, and we're not getting into it tonight, but I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Enoch, if you're here, Enoch, a few chapters ago, chapter 5, Enoch walked with God in chapter 5, and he was not. Enoch is a picture of the church. Enoch is also the first recorded preacher of the Bible. The book of Jude tells us that Enoch was a preacher. Enoch is a preacher, is a picture of the church. Before judgment falls here, Enoch was taken out. Noah, we believe, is a picture of the Jew. During the tribulation, the Jews will be assembled back into Israel and back into Jerusalem, and God's protection, and God will protect the Jew through the tribulation. And God will use the Jew during the tribulation. 144,000 Jewish men will go throughout the world. 144,000 virgin Jewish men will go throughout the world and preach the gospel during the tribulation. And listen, I'm telling you, there's hope for these people. There's not the ones that have heard, the Bible says God's going to send strong delusions, they're going to believe a lie. But those that have never heard during the tribulation, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that those 144,000 men will win a great multitude of people which no man can number. So people will be saved, despite what we often say during the tribulation. The book of Revelation tells us those 144,000 will win a great multitude during the tribulation. By the way, we're close to 8 billion people on this planet now. 8 billion. If 1 billion people were saved, I would be shocked. But let's say 1 billion were saved. That means there's 7 billion people on the road to hell tonight. That's why it's important for us to spread the message. That's why it's important for us to send missionaries. And so during the tribulation, Noah is going through tribulation. God protects him. God's going to protect the Jew during the tribulation and bring them over on the other side. Now, chapter 8 now. And God remembered Noah and every living creature and all the cattle that was with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. And people say, what does that word mean? Well, glad you asked, because the Bible answers that. The King James Bible is a self-defining Bible. Look in verse 2. The fountains of also the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. So the word assuaged means to restrain, to stop, to return, abate, or decrease is what the word assuaged means. So if you write notes in your Bible and you want to know, put a note there. Just like I've got, sometimes you come across words, you wonder what they mean. That's one of them. It means to restrain or to return. The waters began to return. The fountains of the deep also, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. The waters returned from off the earth continually after the end of the 150 days were abated. So we've got 40 days. Okay, if you're keeping track, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. The rain stops for 150 days. The water sits there. Preacher, where's all the water at now? It's on the earth. During this time, there's great earthquakes. The tectonic plates are shifting. The mountains begin to rise up out of the waters. The waters begin to go down. I believe that before Noah's days, that the mountains were not the height that they are now, that all that happened during this time, because the great fountains of the deep and all that the Bible talks about, all the earth, the whole thing, I believe personally, according to Genesis, and we don't know for sure, but this is a theory, and we were taught this actually in elementary school, and I believe it's probably true. Pangea, has anybody else been taught Pangea? Has anybody else taught that in school? Pangea is the idea, a man came up with this, the theory that at one point all the continents were one supercontinent. And if you look and bring them, they fit together. You can bring them together and make one continent. Well, in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, God says that he made the dry land appear, singular, dry land appear, and he called it earth. And so my personal opinion, I believe that at one point, all the continents were one big continent. Then during the flood, God broke the continents apart. All the ground began to, the great deeps, the fountains of the deep began to break up. All this, and the land masses shift. And during that time, that's when the land begins to rise higher. That's when the mountains get higher. The water does come back up off of the water. That's why you can walk right out here. I walked out this morning. As I got in my car this morning, I looked down, and there on the stone, what is there? Fossils. The world, evidence is all around us, despite what people want to say. People just don't want to admit. We went to South Dakota a few years ago. And up there, we went to Mount Rushmore, and we also went to another thing, and I don't remember what was that, Mammoth?
It's a Mammoth Dig.
Mammoth Dig. And there's a place up there where hundreds of mammoths are all in one place, and we're all wiped out at one point all together. What a coincidence. There are fish, don't we have one over here? Is there one over here? The fossils, the fish inside of a fish?
That's in Hayes.
Is that in Hayes? Okay. I know they have some fossils over here. I don't remember what they have. Hayes has a fish inside of a fish. What does that mean? That means it was killed that quick, while before it had a chance to digest the other fish. Evidence is all around us. You can choose to reject it like the world does. The world continues to refuse the evidence. I don't care what the evidence says. You know, there's still people that try to say there was no global flood, despite the fact of all the evidence around us, all the way up into the mountains of this country, all the way up into the highest mountains in this country, there's evidence that they were at one time under seawater. And yet people still continue to deny it. Noah's flood was not a regional flood like some try to claim. I believe Noah's flood was a worldwide flood. I believe it covered, just like he said there in the previous chapter, that it covered the tops of the mountains and the tops of the hills. What was it? 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail and the mountains were covered. You got to remember, if they were a lot shorter then, it wouldn't take as much water to cover everything. And so all it took was God continually washing up with the great fountains blowing up from the depths of the ocean. By the way, we even know that even in our day, we learned this morning in Sunday school, if you weren't here for Sunday school, that there are still fresh water springs in the oceans. There are waters just continuing to be shot up in the ocean water from underneath. So all that evidence is around us. It's just about whether you want to choose to accept it. Now, here's verse 4. The ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. Now, make sure you pay attention to this statement. People immediately assume that the mountain of Ararat is where the ark of the covenant, the ark of Noah is. It's not what it says, is it? What does it say? The mountains of Ararat. We think we know what mountains those are referring to in our day and time. And we do. And the mountain of Ararat is one of the places where they've searched. And they say they found an area that looks like boat shaped, if you've ever seen it. And all. And I didn't think about this. I was watching a video actually on it yesterday because I thought it was cool. And I never thought. This is what I'm saying. You think. Sometimes we overthink stuff, you know, and I'm like, so people are like, well, you know, why is there nothing there? And the one of the comments in the comment section said, there's probably not much of it left because of the fact the whole world was wiped out. So what is there not? The whole world just got wiped out. What's not there? What's
the bacteria and
stuff?
Trees. So if you just came off a boat full of wood, there's no trees, and you need to build something to live in, what are you going to do? You're going to take the boat. And I was like, you know,
there's an area there that they say, and they say even the soil in the thing said that the soil registers like deteriorating wood,
but why would those things not be there? Because if you come off of a great flood, there's nothing left on the earth, and you need somewhere to live, what are you going to do? You're going to go back, either going to live in that thing until you get some trees growing, or you can go dismantle that thing and recycle the wood. Some of them are like, what? Ain't y'all ever took a pallet apart and reused the wood? Think of it that way. That's what they repurposed the wood the best they probably could because they didn't have nothing. And so that they would have, whatever they would have had in the ark is what they would have had. If he had some tools, that's all they would have had. They would have had to remake everything. And so, you know, there's a possibility that could be it, the remnants of it. But they probably used 75-80% of it. You've got four families coming off the ark that need homes. They're going to take as much of that wood and build them a home. Because now, what is it doing that it didn't do before? It rains now. Before the flood, the Bible does not record that it ever rained. People say, well, there's never been a rapture before. Yeah, and they said it never rained before in Noah's day too. And guess what? It did. Don't wait around for it to happen because it's going to be too late. Bible says that those that heard the truth, I'm going to paraphrase, you can read it in the book of 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians, I forget which one it is right now, but he said that those that have heard the truth and would not receive the truth, that during the tribulation, God's going to send them strong delusion, they're going to believe a lie. We just saw this the other day, didn't we, Brother Joe, in Genesis' account of Exodus. What do you mean? Well, all those Egyptians saw all the plagues. And at the end of it, right before the death angel comes, God gives those Hebrews favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and they go out and borrow all the Egyptians, all the jewels, and all the Egyptians. I'm not going to believe the lie, preacher. I'm going to stay strong. And no, listen, if you are here and you're lost and you've not got saved, Bible says God's going to send you strong delusion because you did not receive the truth when you had the opportunity. God's going to send you strong delusion. You're going to believe the lie just like those Egyptians did. And those Egyptians gave up all their stuff to those Hebrews. Those Hebrews walked out the next day or however many days afterwards with all the spoils of Egypt. So you can believe the Bible and what God says, or you can believe what man says. I'm just going to believe God. The ark rested the seventh month on the 17th day of the month on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. By the way, if you don't remember, Noah went in. Where is that at? Noah was 600 years old. He was the 600th year of Noah's life, the second month, the 17th day of the month. I kept coming up my math wrong because I skipped the verse down here at the bottom. And so don't do that when you're adding and think, man, what did I mess up here? Because I know people wiser than me have done this. And I kept coming up short on days here. Noah was in his 600th year of life, the second month, 17th day of the month. And then here now, it's now the seventh month on the 17th day of the month, same year, upon the mountains of Ararat. The waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And so now it's been 40 days plus 150 days. Here's another 40 days. Now it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the ark, the window of the ark, which he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. He also sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated. Again, self-defining, the word abated goes right along with assuaged. Were decreased from off the face of the earth. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, and the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days. Again, he sent forth the dove out of the ark. So 47 days since the 50 days. Were those seven, and he sent her out. The dove came in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. So there's 54 days since that seven, that's 150, and the 40 days. So we're at 204 days. And now, it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, where the waters dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Now, it's important. The face of the ground was dry, but it's, you know, how it is. A lot of times you look outside, we've got a lot of rain, and what? It looks dry. The ground looks dry, but then if you were to dig or you were to get out there, it's what? Still kind of muddy. So what does it say here? Second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, the earth was dried. And so in total, whether you add the 7 days or you don't, 371 days or 378 days, depending on whether you add the seven. And then there's still a debate on whether you add the day that he was, when he got off the ark or not. So some will say 372 or 379. So you know how it is. You know how people are. When I try to tell my kids, well, it's so many days till this, they're like, no, it's not. And they always want to add one more day for the day the event happens. You know, if we say Bonnie's birthday is December 1st, so November 1st, we'd say there's 31 days. Is there 31 days in November or 30? 30 days. Well, there's 30 days till Bonnie's birthday. Thank you. And Bonnie would go, no, it's 31 days. And they will add the day after. So just know that some people, if you see that, but most people agree 371 days. Without the 7 days, that Noah goes in before, which is 378. 27 more days, the 27th day of the second month here. And so Noah is now 601 years old when he comes off the ark. He's 600 years old when the flood begins. So it's just a little over a year that all this takes place. Just a little over a year. You say, man, that's awful quick. God could have done it in 10 days if he wanted to. God did it in whatever time that he wanted to. He made sure everything was wiped off. All that breathed air were wiped out. All man and beast and flying, all were dead. Verse 15 now, and God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy son and thy son's wives with thee. By the way, that is now the third command that God has given Noah. The third command, that's important. God commanded Noah in chapter number 6. He gave him the first command, make thee an ark of gopher wood. In chapter number 7, verse number 1, he gives him the command, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Then now in chapter number 8, verse 16, go forth of the ark, and thou and thy wife and thy son and thy son's wives with thee, bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth and his sons and his wife and his son's wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing and every fowl and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kinds went forth out of the ark. Now here, there's no mention. Noah doesn't take time to build a house. Noah doesn't take time to build barns. Noah does not even need a command. This is what you need to understand about serving God. Noah doesn't need a command. Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Amen. That is the truth. That's why it's important to try to win your kids to Jesus at a young age. That's why it's important to bring your kids up. That's why God puts the responsibility on the father. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That word nurture is just like what you do when you're raising children. You're to take care of their needs. And admonition means fear. You're to make sure they have a fear of God, a godly fear. Not that he's going to strike them dead, but that if they don't get saved, they're going to die and go to hell. If they don't serve God and do right with God, God will not bless them or take care of them like they need to. However you want to do it. But listen, we don't want to put a fear of them. We was talking, me and John before church. We don't want, as fathers, we don't want to put a fear of God in our kids so much that they fear to come to church. We as fathers, also listen, you don't want to put fear of your child of you. We was talking about some of the ways we were raised. And I love my dad, and nothing's gonna break that. But listen, as parents, some parents unfortunately go beyond discipline to abuse, and that causes children to resent their parents and to fear them in the wrong sense. You want your children to fear you, in the sense that mamas, your children ought to know. If you say something inappropriate, you ain't afraid to smack them across the mouth. I'm not for that, but I'm just saying that your kids all live in fear that if you say something that you shouldn't be saying, that they're going to face the repercussions. But it's the dad's, it is the father's responsibility to make sure kids are raised in church. It's the father's responsibility to make sure that the house is holy. It's the father's responsibility to make sure that the house is spiritual. It's the father's responsibility to make sure the kids are brought up with a Christian education. It is the father. A lot of times in 2025, people have tried to put so much pressure on the mother. And I understand, because we've got so many single mothers, but God put the greatest responsibility on the father. The model that we have, men, the model that we have is a perfect model. Our model is Jesus Christ. He compared marriage to Jesus and the church. Jesus is our example. You ladies, your example is the church. And as we know, the church is imperfect. It's full of sinners and full of imperfect people. That doesn't give you an excuse to sin. It's just telling you that the man holds the greater responsibility because our representative is Jesus Christ. That's our model. That's who we're to live our life according to and by, men. That's free. That didn't cost you nothing. Amen. I don't care if you amen me or not. That's all right.
Amen.
Thank you. But that's okay. We have the greatest. Listen, nobody told Noah. He said, I'm going to go off of this ark and I'm going to worship God because he has provided for my... Hey, God could have wiped out all of them and started over. Or gave up. And just said, I'm done. It's just not in the heart of man to do right. God could have wiped out Noah with all of them. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He would have gone on to heaven. He was saved. He would have gone on to heaven. But God could have wiped out man and said, I'm done. It's just not going to work. By the way, this is, I think, 2,000 years, if I remember correctly, from the time now of the creation to the flood of Noah is either, it's 2,000 or 2,500 years, somewhere around there, 1,900. I think it's 2,000 years. 2,000 years. Think about that. We just covered in 8 chapters, 2,000 years. God, it's kind of amazing that God kind of brushes over the first 2,000 years. He gives us very little information on the first part of the earth. And yet, it's only been that same amount of time, basically, from when Jesus was here or Jesus' death to now. The same time that's covered in the first 8 chapters of Genesis is the same amount of time from the time Jesus died to right now. And yet we have a whole lot more information from the disciples than what we get here. For whatever reason, God chose not to tell us a lot. He just told us that men were doing wickedly in 2,000 years. By the way, think about that. 2,000 years they corrupted themselves like that. They went to idols. They left God. They served themselves. What a coincidence. In the church has done the same thing. In 2,000 years, the majority of people in churches, they worship themselves. They don't truly worship God. The majority of people, I believe, are lost. The majority of people are not here to hear from heaven. The majority of people in churches, I don't feel like necessarily here, but a lot of churches I've been in, a lot of churches I've seen, and churches throughout Rush County, the majority of people went to church today out of obligation, not because they wanted to. I hope that you come to church not out of obligation, because you choose to. Because 25 years ago, I chose to come to church. Nobody forced me. I could have said that to that little young lady. I could have said, no, no thanks. I don't want church. I don't want God. But I chose to go to church. I chose to hear the truth. And I received the Lord Jesus Christ. And 25 years later, I'm here serving God. Noah comes off. He offers all these clean beasts. By the way, nothing unclean was offered. It is not enough to sacrifice for God. It must be an offering which pleases God or is ordained of God. What do you mean? Well, a lot of people want to give God their leftovers, or they want to give God their leftover life. Or you know what? This is what's important. I understand lives are busy. But if you can, this is why I feel blessed. We've been doing better. Get up first thing in the morning. Give God the first part of your morning. Get up early. Rather than staying up late, I'm a night owl. I'm a night owl. I used to love it. When I first got saved, that's the way I've always been. I would stay up late. There's many nights, the Bible that sits beside my spot there at the house, that Bible, if I drooled, which I don't, I'm just, if I did, that Bible would have been covered in stains from drooling, because when I first got saved, there was a many nights I fell asleep on that Bible. I've read through that Bible. I have cried over my family, my friends. I have wept over them and prayed for them. I've wept and prayed over many people here in Rush County. Listen, we ought to be doing everything we can. The time is short.
But give God the first. If you can, get up in the mornings an hour earlier, go to bed an hour sooner, and get up an hour earlier, and get up and give God the first. That's what Noah did. He didn't build him a house. He didn't build a barn for his animals. He didn't do none of that stuff. The first thing he does is come off the ark and built an altar and offered a sacrifice to God. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. By the way, that's why I'm not worried about global warming right there. If it wants to warm up a little bit, then so be it. But God has promised, and I just believe God, that while this earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. There will come a day, the Bible says in the book of Peter, there will be coming a day when God will wipe away this world by fire. And the book of Revelation tells us he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And for those of us that are saved, we're going to live with God throughout eternity in a new heaven and a new earth. I've tried to correct my speech a lot of times. I'm sure you, same way you brought up the church. You're going to, when you die, if you're saved, you're going to go live with in heaven eternally. That's not true. Because heaven's going to be made new. The heaven that exists right now, for whatever reason, God is going to actually wipe it away and make a whole new heaven and a whole new earth at some point. And so we as preachers of the world's words, I've said for parity, things we say. That's why I try to watch what I say. That's why I say we're going to live with Christ eternally. Because at some point, he's also going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years, the Bible says, and we'll reign, rule and reign with him if you're saved tonight. This is a perfect picture of salvation here, the grace of God guided Noah through all the troubles of the world. The Bible tells us the first time that grace is mentioned is with Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We are saved by the grace of God. It's not by your good works. It's not by your church membership. It's not by your baptism. You are saved by the grace of God. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If there's anybody that could probably say works, it'd be Noah. He built an ark to the saving of his house. But again, even in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 11, what is it? Chapter 11, verse number, Hebrews 11, verse 7 tells us that Noah, by faith, was moved by faith. There's nobody in heaven tonight that can claim anything outside the same thing that you and I can claim. Abraham did not get there by works. Those Old Testament saints, according to the Bible, did not get there by works. They all had to come by the faith of God that they had. You will not get to heaven by working your way. The Bible tells us in the New Testament for sure. He says that no flesh shall be justified in the sight of God by the works of the law. You can't give enough sacrifices. We don't give sacrifices and offerings and stuff to be saved. We give them because we are saved. If you're here tonight, you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to tell you, here's the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15. The gospel is so important. If I ask you what the gospel is tonight, could you tell me what the gospel is? Because Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is what saves you. What's the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, For I received that first, which I gave you, that which I also received first, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was resurrected the third day according to the Scriptures. Jesus died for your sins. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh God. There is none that I understandeth. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you die today, you know for sure you'd go to heaven. God doesn't want you to die. He wants you to live in 2025 for Him. But I do want you to know that if you did die today, would your family have assurance? If not, you can have it. If you'll come tonight, repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one of us in here, from the youngest to the oldest, that is worthy of heaven. We're sinners. 25 years ago, I finally realized that for the first time. I was trusting in myself and my good works. I'm talking about, man, I was a drunkard. I was a foul-mouthed, dirty-minded young man at 18 years old, and I was trusting in my works. And for the first time, God pulled the veil away, and I realized I was a sinner on the road to hell. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in Romans 10 it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Holy Spirit of God is dealing with you tonight, and you don't know for sure you're saved. I challenge you to come to this altar tonight and call on the name of the Lord. If you can't kneel down, come on up here to this front altar, front pew, and sit down and just call on the Lord. I know my wife struggles too, but if you need to come tonight, listen, I'm telling you, God loves you. There's not a person, despite what people want to see, there is not a person in this world that Jesus Christ did not die for. And there's not a person in here tonight that He can't save. He is ready to save you to the uttermost. And I'm thankful for that. Father, help us tonight. If there's one in here that you've spoken to that does not know You as their Savior, may they come tonight and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, calling upon Jesus. Repent, as Peter said, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us now in Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Come on tonight if you need to come.